Welcome to The Stud Line with Tim Conway Jr. and Adam Carolla Sr.
All right, it's Tim Conway Jr. Adam Carolla is going to be calling up soon. And C. Thomas Howell is with us. Nice to see you, buddy.
It is good to be here,
major,
my man.
Major actor here in Hollywood, getting all the big roles. And what are you doing now? You got a billion projects going on?
You know what? I'm directing a movie right now as we speak. So I'm in a little bit of production hell.
Perfect.
As they say. And I got a company with a buddy of mine down in Anaheim, my buddy Dirk Griffin, and my partner Darren Dalton and I are making movies together. And
excellent.
It's, you know, I got a show on CMT as well called Hillbilly Deluxe, which is kind of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous Gone Redneck.
What is CMT?
Country Music Television, which is, growing and a lot of fun. So I've been, spreading out.
Excellent, excellent. All right, speaking of spreading out, our boy... this guy, John Edwards, man. This guy is having a rough weekend. But, it was perfect timing for him because he did it right before the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, and he did it late at night. It's going to be at 11:30 tonight. So by Monday, people will stop talking about it.
Was that planned?
Oh, I'm sure it was, yeah.
I'm still confused. This all happened in 05 and 06. Why are we just talking? Why is he just...
I think it's because the National Enquirer, caught him going into the Beverly Hilton and, hitting it with this chick. But you got to give it to the National Enquirer. They scooped the LA Times, the New York Times. The LA Times would not print a word about this until they knew it was confirmed. However, the LA Times also hired three reporters to go after Arnold Schwarzenegger when Schwarzenegger ran for governor against Gray Davis. So it seems odd, If this was a Republican, it would have been front page news. But because it's a Democrat, they don't report about it on it at all. All right, we have some more audio here of John Edwards, man. This guy is having a rough, rough night. Here we go.
2006, and today I take full responsibility publicly. But that misconduct took place for a short period in 2006. It ended then. I am and have been willing to take any test necessary to establish the fact that I am not the father of any baby, and I am truly hopeful that a test will be done so this fact can be definitively established.
I think he's lying about that, too. I think that kid's his. Because on that kid's birth certificate, there's no name. It's blank. And if it's not, a name that means something, why wouldn't they fill it in?
How old's the kid?
I think the kid is, 3 or 4. So,
How long's he? What, this is,
maybe the kid's
this,
2?
But wait, different girl? Same girl?
Same chick, yeah.
Come on.
Same chick's got herself a kid. And on the birth certificate, there's no father's name. And one of his campaign workers came out and said, I'm the father of that kid. So you can't really believe that guy either because he's covering for John Edwards. It's a rough night for this dude. Rough night, man. Everybody else is sitting there watching the Olympics or, the fireworks in Beijing.
Except for Marion Jones.
The fireworks are happening in John Edwards' house. Quiet night in the Edwards mansion there. All right, here we go. More of the audio. We can't play the real audio until maybe never, because we can't play it until Monday. It's not going to be on until 11:30 tonight on Channel 7.
I only know that the apparent father has said publicly that he is the father of the baby. I also have not been engaged in any activity of any description that requested, agreed to, or supported payments of any kind to the woman or to the apparent father of the baby. It is inadequate to say to the people who believed in me that I am sorry, as it is inadequate to say to the people who love me that I am sorry. In the course of several campaigns, I started to believe that I was special and became increasingly egocentric and narcissistic.
Now that happens too, to people in Hollywood. I'm sure you know people like this, where they start to believe.
I'm like that.
Well, but you're probably a little different.
Oh.
There are a lot of guys in Hollywood who start to believe their press,
Yeah, I'm not like that.
And I don't think you read something where they go, you're the best in the world.
No, nobody's ever said that about me.
But once you start believing it, that's the slippery slope, because then you start believing both sides.
So then you can roll into Vegas and be like, look, for $700, I can get that. I'm the best.
Right?
Is that what happens? Is that what you're saying to me?
I guess so, man. If somebody wrote... that you did a movie and, you're the best actor in Hollywood and you start to believe what you read,
mm-hmm.
it's over. It's going to ruin your life because you have to then believe on the other end what they write, you know, like you're the worst actor in the world, and you start believing both sides and it drives you crazy.
I'm still confused about this decision. Okay, it's not his kid, but 4 years later he's still seeing this woman.
Right. Yeah. Well,
why not 4 or 5 years ago break it off with the wife? And step then.
Yeah, I think it's tough to do when you're running for office to leave the cancer wife and the kids in North Carolina and move to Washington, you know?
Really? I mean, all of a sudden, well, sorry, John, you can't because you got a divorce, we can't put you on the ticket now?
Yeah, I don't know anybody who's single and running. You don't know anybody? And when's the last time we had a single president? No, it's happened.
Hillary turned the other cheek.
Yeah.
Boy, did she.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I understand it with him as well. Now, see, when Clinton got caught cheating, he couldn't tell the truth. And the truth was, you've seen her. She's sitting upstairs in that pantsuit. Mm-hmm. Why don't you go bang her? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the president of the United States of America. I deserve better than that tale.
Yeah, but even the tabloids at one point were running that Hillary had a girlfriend.
But I think the mistake Clinton made is he was with a chick that wasn't that attractive.
Again,
these
but
guys.
But if they're with, you know, the hottest chick, then we're like, okay, it's the
yes,
guy, right?
Yes, then we can all handle it.
And when you're worth $50 million, you could...
I know, $50 million. 50 million bucks. All right, folks, speaking of guys worth $50 million, ladies and gentlemen from the morning show, Adam Carolla, how are you, sir?
Great to talk to you, Timmy.
Hey, C. Thomas Howell is with us.
Oh, always a pleasure.
How are you, maestro?
Good, good. How you doing?
Hey, we're just talking Hollywood people, and
I've been listening. I've been going through the hills, been in and out, but Roger Ebert's having an affair?
Yeah.
Heard that computer voice. Who's he been on?
This is something you only see in Hollywood, and C. Thomas Howell and Adam Carolla are both big Hollywood studs. But when you have a guy that's like a CPA, right? And he's going to go to New York, because he has to, investigate a company and do an audit or something. He tells his friends, I'm going out of town for business for about a week. I'll see you in about a week. But when a guy from Hollywood goes to New York, they got to tell you what they're doing. I'm directing in Hollywood. I'm writing in South Carolina. I got a play going in New York. Everyone in Hollywood always has to tell you what they're doing instead of it's just business, you know?
Well, there's so much BS in Hollywood that I think people overcompensate, and so they get real specific. But if you left it more open-ended, it would actually... It makes you sound like a mobster, and then you become Sinatra. You know what I mean? Like I like to say, when I go to New York and someone wants to know why I'm going to New York, I just say, someone got out of line.
Right, but the truth is, Adam, you're going to get milk.
Right.
Right, the wife just sent you to pick up some bananas and some milk, right? And that's really what's going on. I mean, you can't say that.
Business is the best. You should just say business and let people's imaginations run wild.
That's good.
Your long-winded discussions about pitch sessions.
I like that. So, Tim, when you said to me, what are you doing? I should have just looked at you and said business.
Yeah, I'm in business.
I'm doing business.
Right.
Okay, for now on, that's it. That's a good answer,
Yeah, but
Adam.
See, at least you offered it when I asked. Yeah. Most people will email you. You know, if you email a guy who's like a director, and he has his email on, out of office, response.
Yeah.
And it comes back, I'm in New York directing. I'll be back in September.
Ugh.
You think you're
you
set up, man.
You want to know what the biggest a-hole move in this business is? When they bring up some business, like, I got an awesome idea for a reality show. And you go, yeah, what is it? And go, I can't talk about it. Really?
Right.
Seems like you're doing a lot of talking about it.
You know what the biggest a-hole move is? This
it couldn't be bigger than that.
Come
one.
On, this one. Google me.
Google me.
Come on.
Hey, you know what? But there are a lot of people in Southern California who are not in show business and not attracted to it, and they'll still lay those lines on them. Yeah, I'm going to a New York to be in a play. And they could give a rat's ass. These are the people who are going to county fairs. You got the Orange County Fair going on and the Ventura County Fair. And I went to the Ventura County Fair last week with my lovely daughter. And I think the rock climbing wall has got to go the way of the dodo bird at a county fair.
Well, remember when we were kids, they had the greased pole
with
the $5 bill on top of it? You want to talk about a lawsuit? You want to talk about caveman-esque entertainment? Really? Hey, I got an awesome idea. Let's take 40 foot of galvanized piping, we'll stick it in the ground, we'll cover it with lithium grease, and we'll plant a tent spot on the top, and then meanwhile, even if you did get the $10, it's $80 worth of dry cleaning.
Right. And it's always shirtless guys with jeans on that are doing this.
Right. We'll grease up a pole, and we'll see who can make it up the top of this grease pole. It's like, who's dumb enough? You would have to put like a suitcase filled with cocaine at the top of that pole with like three strippers on it in a pony keg. I'm not going to hug that pole for $10.
Right. And the guy that does grab the bill is always very excited and then falls 70 feet onto his back.
It is like one step lower than even a lumberjack competition, which that is the crazy. Have you ever seen like on ESPN 4 2:30 in the morning when they have one of those lumberjack competitions?
Right.
And they get to that point. There's the one competition which is the. Well, there's two of them that are crazy. There's the unlimited chainsaw category, where the guy has like a couple of modified Mercury outboard motors that's hooked up to like a 9-foot boom, and he can cut down a ponderosa pine in like 8 seconds, and he's wielding the thing around. There's another one, too, where the guy takes the axe, takes two swings, takes a slice of pie out of the log, then they put a plank in it, then he jumps up onto the plank 8 feet above the ground and starts swinging the axe like a maniac again on a piece of wood that just got shoved into the side of a tree. How come... And the other good one is the log climbing competition. The guy that's behind, his strategy is to free fall down the log to see if he can make it down to the bottom faster. It's the craziest competition in the world.
I do see this on ESPN late at night. And I watched ESPN late at night the other night, and I swear to God I saw this. It was a dog diving contest.
Yeah, that's what they have there.
And the stands were packed.
But can I say this? Second, maybe only to rodeo clown, is there any worse, more dangerous, sort of no bang for your buck in the get laid department of professional athletes? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Professional bowlers get laid more than the guy who's got the chainsaw and he's up on the plank and he's risking life and limb. The most dangerous, ballsy job on the planet is rodeo clown.
Right.
God knows what kind of tail these guys are pulling down on the road, but I don't want to see it.
Yeah, and also there's not, you know, the only thing separating the kids in the front row from the guy with the chainsaw that's hooked up to a Mercury outboard engine is a string of flags that they use at car dealerships. That signify a sale's going on.
Well, how about when the guy's just standing on that 2x6 plank swinging that razor-sharp axe back and forth? How long before the head of that thing goes flying off and sailing into the crowd? How long? And by the way, is this any kind of example for children? You know, like, here's how you should cut logs. Make a notch, shove a 2x6 into it, jump up on it, and just start swinging like an axe murderer.
And you know, the guy who does this, the guy who's swinging like an axe murderer, he goes back to his house, and he's probably got childproof locks on all of his cabinets and his toilet at home.
Yeah, his kid picks up some scissors and starts walking at a brisk rate, and he's like, slow down, easy now. Meanwhile, he's shaving with an axe. I don't know why. I don't know, like, whose plan, like, when they were deciding on the competition, someone went, well, let's see who can take an axe and cut down a tree the fastest. All right, wait, I got a better idea. How about we have him do it 9 feet off the ground, standing on a plywood plank that's wedged into the side of the log?
Yeah, that's got to be the environmentalist nightmare when they're watching this. You know, a guy has designed a saw that can cut down a tree that's 12 feet in circumference in 5 seconds.
Family of beavers just home watching it going, I don't know about you, but I'm going to kill myself.
That's like a competition Who can throw the most crude oil into Santa Monica Bay in 5 minutes?
I know that. The unlimited chainsaw competition, I urge. And by the way, you ever see these guys and you think, how pissed off is this guy's wife?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing if you're into drag racing or, you know, you enjoy playing the ponies or whatever it is, or maybe you're just building ships in a bottle. The old lady has to kind of look the other way, and it's just what he does on the weekends. I give him his room. But you're in the garage putting together 20 grand worth of chainsaw. You're creating just a killing instrument. Every time you fire it up, it wakes up the whole neighborhood. The house is, you know, filled with two-stroke smoke. You know what I mean? You want to talk about, like, here's something that you could easily pour 80 grand into, and you could sell it on eBay for 400 bucks when you're done, right? And there's a very good chance he's going to kill himself using this thing.
Or lose a finger.
And then these guys will match their outfit to the color they decide to paint the saw, too.
Right.
And so, yeah, but and then he has his buddies over, and anytime you go over to that guy's house, he's got to fire it up.
Oh, sure. You can hear Stan come, you know, the light and the smoke coming from the garage. Stan's fired it up. He's working on a new one for next year. Yeah, I know. And you got to hear these. I mean, you could hear the woman. You could hear the wife on the phone right now, right? Like, it's like, sorry, Cindy, I can't. I got to pick up Stan's chainsaw from the pinstriper. Sorry. Yeah. Don't. Yeah, I know. Don't get me started.
Right.
Hey, listen, Bert, yeah, with the heroin problem, count your blessings. Count your blessings. Sweetie, you've been touched by God. Trust me. Three weeks of rehab, this will all be over. There's nothing we can do with Stan.
And then this is also the guy who's, you know, the garage is no longer big enough for his hobby.
Right.
So now he starts to take over, like, the laundry room with stuff.
Right.
And slowly, like, there's all of a sudden there's a chain in the kitchen. And all of a sudden the entire house is this guy's effed up hobby. And he doesn't make a dime off of it.
How could you? How can you make any money off of this? He's a laughing stock of all the other, you know, postal sorters in Denver.
But he hasn't paid for a beer in 6 years.
It's true.
And nobody's robbed his house, ever.
He's the champ.
And you know he's got some kind of plan. He's got some patent on a breaker bar or something on the chainsaw. You know, there's just some pipe dream. He keeps floating toward his wife, you know.
A video.
He's got a new, he's developed a new two-stroke additive that's going to revolutionize the chainsaw world. But
yeah.
Every year passes and he never makes a penny off of it.
Right. But he tells everybody. Like his new idea was, well, if I could circulate, like, you know, the rifle barrel in the middle of it is hollowed out and then it's circular, so if when the bullet comes out it's spinning.
Right.
And he's thinking, well, if I could do that with the WD-40 or the DW-40 and I can get that coming out on a line instead of an open spray, I could make millions.
And then every time company comes over, he has a couple of, like, Pabst tall boys and launches into his two-stroke idea. And you can see the wife start, oh, Christ, here we go. Here we go. And then he starts his pitch. You know, if I could just get a little seed money together.
Right.
Just a little capital. Everyone's going to get rich.
And every single credit card has been touched by his dream.
And the beauty of it, he has a 14-year-old daughter who has no idea what he does. This guy could be 6-time Canadian champion, and his 14-year-old daughter would be like, what's your dad do? I don't know, something with a log.
And they got the childproof on all the cabinets and all the tables and everything, but the door to the garage where the two-stroke and the 9-foot saw is wide open.
Right.
Kids can go in there anytime they want.
Things just sitting there idling all night.
This is also something I think they have to eliminate from the fair, and I can't believe that animal activists aren't all over this one. But when you go up to one of these fairs and you see, well, that kid has just won himself a goldfish in a bag because he put a 25-cent ping pong ball into a container.
Think about
that guy ready to become a pet owner? That kid.
Not only that, but Think about how bad your ratio is just on doggy bags from a restaurant in terms of leaving them in the car overnight. Right. I'll bet you half those goldfish don't make it out of the trunk. Right. You know, I mean, it's just one of those 2 weeks later, what smells?
And what a bad way to go for the goldfish. You know? Yeah. Oh, wow, wait a minute, a ping pong ball just hit my water. I'm gone.
Yeah, in a way, though, you know, not having to hang with the carnies, I feel like might be a bit of a blessing. But yeah,
what about the kid that walks around with 6-7 goldfish?
Oh yeah, right. Yeah.
He's coming home with 8 goldfish.
Is that thing? What are the like? Look, why not just go to the restroom and flush it right now? Let's end this charade.
Don't wait for it to die.
Yeah, do you really need to go into that place where there's a castle and bubbles coming out of the chimney?
Yeah, it seems dull. You know, so they'll give away a pet if you throw a ping pong ball into a jar, but yet you go into a zoo like the L.A. Zoo, and you can't get a lid for your coffee or your soft drink or a straw because it's bad for the animals.
Right.
You know, I go to the L.A. Zoo, and they won't give me a lid for the drink or a straw because some a-hole has taken the straw and threw it into the zebra cage and the zebra choked on it. And now, because that a-hole, everybody's now has to spill their drink all over the stroller because that, you know, jackass.
Giving a zebra Heimlich is rough.
Right, exactly.
I don't think my kids are going to have any interest in, like, goldfish. I feel that was a pre-cable, pre-Madden, pre-internet porn fascination that we'll never recapture again, you know?
Right.
All of us, 11 years old and just staring at a 2-inch fish go in a circle and wait to die. You think our kids are going to go for that crap?
No. They feed them to other pets now.
Yeah, like, look, unless there's a joystick or some crazy German porn involved, count me out.
You know, Adam Kroll is with us, also C. Thomas Howell. You go to Home Depot, right? You're probably there once or twice a week or so. Have you ever gone through the self-checkout and were successful at it?
No. I am very scared of self-anything because I know it'll never work.
Yeah, the one chick that's in charge of the four registers is constantly moving.
Right.
You know, because every single time you zip.
What's so hard about it?
About self-checkout?
Yes.
And you never make it through. You got 10 items. On the third item, it's going to be, wait for attendant.
You know what this self-checkout is? It's one of these things. It seems like a great idea. It's kind of like air conditioning in a car in the 50s. Like, seems like a cool idea, but it's going to take 40 years to really work it out.
Right.
It seems great. It's not going to work.
Hey, I got to play this for you guys before we go here. You know, tell me if you would buy insurance from this man. Here we go.
I know I should have health insurance, but on my budget, I just can't afford it. I need help.
Hi, Billy Mays here to share with you the most important product I have ever endorsed. Access to affordable health insurance for everyone. If you're one of the 47 million uninsured, call now, we can help. And if you're one of the millions dissatisfied with your current health insurance, this could be the most important call you make. Has your rate gone up? Have you been turned down? We can help. Finally, health insurance you can actually afford, including plans with guaranteed acceptance, starting as low as $160 a month for you or $270 a month for your entire family. And certain plans can cost even less. And I'm not talking about some discount card. I'm talking about real insurance. Even if you've been turned down before, the ICANN Group can help. Even our most affordable plans have coverage for doctor visits, prescriptions, hospital stays, surgery, blood tests, x-rays, checkups, maternity, emergency room, and so much more.
This is the OxyClean guy selling you health insurance.
This is a guy I just bought 2 pounds of Wonder Putty from. Is now telling me about life insurance.
It's health insurance. Now, if you were in a hospital and, God forbid, anything that would happen to, like, a relative or a good friend, and, like, well, he didn't make it because his insurance policy didn't cover the procedure that he wanted. Well, is he with State Farm? Is he with Farmers? Nah, he's with the Billy, with the OxyClean guy. Didn't work out.
First off, I feel like Billy is now officially endorsed everything except for the obvious, which is just for men, which is the dye you comb into your beard. Because His beard looks like someone put it on with a Sharpie. That's number one. Number two, most people look better when they lose a few pounds, not Billy. Billy, the 30 you dropped, put them back on. You're freaking me out. Your beard gets blacker with every pound you drop. And it's crazy because this guy's doing, like, multivitamins.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to – it's like – I was asking my wife for oral the other night. She was like, I don't know. And Billy Mays popped out of the closet and started yelling at her in a denim shirt. By the way, he gets into the same position that Farley would get into in that SNL sketch when he said he was going to live in a van down by the river.
Right.
That's his pose. It's a kind of a bad linebacker stance. Like, feet shoulder width, toes pointed out, head on a swivel, elbows on your hips, and hands wide open, and gesticulating.
Sure. And everything is delivered with the same importance. You know, whether these guys selling OxyClean or you know, the last insurance before you die. And first of all, the guy is, you know, he's selling health insurance. But where are you in life where you pick up the phone and go, that's my guy? You know, that's my health insurance guy. He's the guy I trust.
You know, he was spot on with that super hook for hanging pictures that weigh over 7,500 pounds. He's got to know something about health insurance as well.
Yeah, the Hercules hook.
you know,
he's the equivalent of that guy that you used to talk about on the, you know, Sunday. You know, the guy that used to do the big
yelling at you.
Right.
And the thing too is he's kind of setting a bad example because he's like, when you ever watch like the Wonder Epoxy Putty one, and he's like, copper pipe sprung a leak, use Wonder Putty, and so. He's got a copper pipe that is a leak, and so what he basically does is he takes some epoxy bubble gum and stuffs it on the leak. Instead of splicing it and sweating a new piece of pipe in and doing it correctly, he's just going to shove a piece of gum on it like you're in a, you know, World War II stuff.
Right. That's like when your car starts to make a funny noise, you turn up the radio a little bit, it goes away.
Yeah, like you can go to sleep that night and think, well, at least that gum is on the pipe.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
That boat won't sink.
Look, the next time your muffler starts dragging, try some duct tape.
Some Wonder Putty.
It's funny because they show like a rain gutter leaking and he's shoving it on there. It's like, listen. Kid's sick. Eat some of this Wonder Putty. Like, well, how about you just take a few minutes and actually let a professional fix the problem correctly?
He's putting up a shelf with the Wonder Putty, and then he puts his wife's prize vase up there. Like, that couldn't be a problem if that thing, you know, that shelf, God
Grandma's
forbid,
urn.
Collapsed and went all over the place.
How pissed would you be, though, if a plumber showed up at your house with some Wonder Putty? That's how you know it's not made for plumbing, right? If an actual plumber showed up with him, you throw him out of the house.
Right.
Then I like the super nutty strength where it's like, we took these two elephants and tried to, how do you think this is really going to crop up? Is there going to be some scenario where I have to conjoin these two elephants?
Yeah, like the guy hanging from his hard hat. Remember that? That's a super glue?
Yeah. And now he's been replaced by the two diesel trucks. But it's like, do you really think a scenario is going to pop up anytime in the next 5 to 10 years where there's two semi-trucks that are getting away and I need to bind them together via chain and Wonder Putty?
It's like, they remember the guy they were selling? It was some kind of oil for an engine, but it was synthetic, where they took all the oil out.
Flip 50.
Yeah, and they just still ran the engine. And the one guy that flipped out, he couldn't believe that engine was still running.
Yeah, he drove from, like, the Santa Monica Pier to San Francisco with no oil in his car.
Right, and everybody else that tries that drives from Santa Monica to Venice and then calls AAA.
Right, They do it, but then they always warn you not to try this, which is like, well, look, if I'm not going to do this, what do I need your product for? I thought the whole point of the product is so I could drive to the Bay Area with no oil in my automobile.
And that's not a two-tenths of a trip either if you're in August in the desert.
Right.
And you're like, well, I'm going to try to do it now with no oil.
Yeah.
Great idea.
You know, as it turns out, really, like every one of those additives and all that fuel mileage stuff and all the stuff that's going to get you 25% better mileage and stuff,
right.
None of it's all been tested and none of it ever worked.
And now, you know, like the Lincoln Navigator and the Cadillac, those trucks or those SUVs are designed to run on poor gasoline. If you put 91 octane into those cars, you're going to burn the headers.
Really?
Yeah, that's what my mechanic told me.
Burn the headers.
Yeah,
those I didn't cars know have
means.
An exhaust manifold. They don't have a header. But here's the point. Billy Mays. A tip to all your listeners out there. Some people just put 91. They put the premium in their car because they think they get better mileage or it's
right.
better for your car. If your car needs premium, it will say, I need premium on the gas flap.
Right.
If it doesn't say that, it doesn't make a difference.
Exactly.
It's really the same conversation I have with my wife about shampoo once a month, which is just get the goddamn Suave and stop wasting my money on the Pantene. I've seen John Stossel talk about this 200 times.
Right.
It's all the same crap.
Although, you know what I do go top shelf on?
Mm.
Toilet paper.
Oh, yeah.
I look for the most expensive stuff, and I get myself a six-pack because I don't know about you, but as you get older, it turns into a real sensitive area.
Yeah,
you know?
It is weird. And you think by now it would be used to it. You know, I mean, it's not like you take a crap once every 4 years. You know what I mean?
You have some calluses there built up.
Yeah, you think your anus would, you know, but you'd eventually be like the hands of a guy who worked on the docks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all right.
Some wiping calluses.
You know, go ahead and put a cigarette in it, let it burn all the way down. It doesn't know.
Right. But it's the exact opposite.
It's a grizzled veteran. So you've loved and lost like my anus. You can't be affected by anything. No, but it gets worse as the years go
on.
Oh,
yeah.
Now warm water hurts.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, now it's like, you know, somebody, you know, breathes too close to you. Like, oh, my anus.
Yeah, like, oh, I can tell it's going to rain. My anus hurts. I know, what's up? Why?
You get to the point where farts hurt.
Wow, that's when it's time to kill yourself, Timmy. When you can't enjoy your fart. When you don't look forward to a good beef biscuit, that's when it's time really just to call the day.
The best is waking a wife up with a fart. Is there anything better than that?
Yeah,
where she actually wakes up like she's struggling in some kind of you know, feces hell.
Yeah, it would be nice if that area toughened up just a little bit.
It doesn't. It never will.
Maybe we're not training right. You ever see those kung fu movies where the guy's like punching the log?
Oh, yeah, right.
You know what I mean? To really toughen up those hands?
Right.
Maybe we should all go gay for a couple of years just to really...
Or maybe you need some guy to come over and punch you in the a-hole.
Well, that's essentially
what donkey
I'm saying.
Punch for you.
Right.
Six of one, half dozen of the other.
A little
come
donkey
on.
Punch.
Don't you know what goes on over there?
Nice.
Right.
That's essentially what the life is about.
Oh, that's great. All right, we got to get out of here, buddy. Always appreciate you calling up, man.
Always always a pleasure.
And go buy that hammer. I heard you just surpassed the 10 million copy mark. Is that right?
From your mouth to God's ears.
Wouldn't that be nice?
No, but go to Amazon and just see the 5 stars, read some of the reviews, and then check it out.
And then buy it.
Yeah,
and,
why not?
Yeah, buy yourself a copy for Father's Day's coming up, right?
Yeah, it's a movie you can enjoy with your dad and your mom, and it's not some crappy straight to DVD stuff. It's actually good.
There you go. All right, thanks for calling up. Always look forward to it. It's one of my favorite things we do here at the station. Wednesday with Arsenio and Friday with Adam Carolla.
Good times.
Thanks, man.
C. Thomas.
Good to hear you, my brother.
Good to talk to you. Talk to you soon.
All right, talk to you later.
Take care.
All right, there he goes, everybody. Adam Carolla. Man, that guy's hysterical.
Not funny at all.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
Sweating my ass off. How about the guy with the chainsaw? All right, C. Thomas Howell is with us at 9 o'clock. We're going to do the news. Gina, what's going on with that news?
Well, it's game on for the Olympics, and John McCain and Shecky Green have more in common than originally suspected. We'll talk about this and more after the break.
Look at that. And right now we're going to play the top 10, David Letterman top 10 list, the top 10 signs America is getting too fat. What number do you enjoy tonight?
Number four, it's about me.
Ah, number four, America's getting too fat. It is Tim Conway Jr. And C. Thomas Howell is with us. We're live on 97.1 Free FM.